Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Isabel Hardman and this is the Sunday Roundup. Thursday's general election result has certainly produced its fair share of drama, not least the surprise loss of the Conservative majority in the House of Commons. In a bid to bring stability to the government, Theresa May is seeking to iron out an arrangement with the Democratic Unionist Party of Northern Ireland. Speaking to Andrew Marr, Defence Secretary Sir Michael Fallon tried to clarify the government's position.
Are you trying to do a formal coalition with the DUP?
No, this is not a coalition. This is what is traditionally called a confidence and supply arrangement, whereby the DUP will support us on the big things like voting for the Queen's speech, on making sure the budget and the finance goes through. They support us on defence. On the big issues, they'll be supporting us.
George Osborne suggested it would be chaotic now because line by line by line they will be coming and arguing about things with you.
I think George is enjoying his job now as a commentator rather than a player on the pitch. We have to deal with the situation in the House of Commons that we have now. It's a minority government, but we'll be working extremely closely with the DUP. We've already started working on outline proposals so that we form a government with their support.
Can I ask you, have you got an agreement?
No, we're working on outline of proposals. Because it'd be pretty surprising if we had an agreement just in a single day.
Well, last night, when the BBC and the Press Association phoned Downing Street, we were told there was an agreement. We could go ahead and report there was an agreement. A few hours later, they confirmed that. A few hours later, again, they said, well, we're not sure. Then there was a long silence from the DUP. Midnight, and there is no agreement. It already sounds, to coin a phrase, like a coalition of chaos.
No, come on. It would be very, very surprising if something as important and as complex as this was stitched together in a single day of talks. In Belfast, both sides have got to work through. But what we do have now is an understanding on the outline proposals that would underpin that working
agreement. This is a crucial agreement. Will the public get to see it? Will you publish that agreement?
Well, you'll see the outline proposals of the agreement, sure.
So it will be published?
Yes. Well, you'll see the proposal, which is they will support us on
but in terms of
issues.
They will be asking for stuff as well. They will not do this for nothing. We need to know what they're going to ask from you. And whether you're going to give it to them.
Well, they'll be making a statement too. They'll be explaining what their approach to these negotiations is as well. I'm not party to the negotiations, but they will be supporting us on the big issues, the big security and economic issues that face this country, and they will be helping us go into the Brexit negotiations and get the outcome that Britain wants.
Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn, the man chiefly responsible for denying the Conservatives their majority, had plenty to be happy about as he emerged from the election in a stronger position than ever before. Corbyn told Marr that he was ready for another election any time.
What is the next stage of all of this? Because if you bring more people back in, you're going to, as it were, heal the Labour Party wounds and bring the Labour Party back together again after this election result. You're expecting an election quite soon. Is the Labour Party ready for an election again this year? It's a very expensive process.
Listen, we don't have any big donors. We don't have any billionaires. Mm. We raised millions of pounds from an average donation of £22. Ordinary people, without much money, saw in us something that was transformative, different, and a real offer in society. We're ready any time.
Now, you've probably heard already Conservatives on this programme saying the one thing we really fear is an early election because Jeremy Corbyn will become Prime Minister if we're not very, very careful. What's your message to Theresa May now?
Well, she fought the election on the basis she wanted a personal mandate. She said in terms in Parliament, vote for me. I never said that. I've said vote Labour. And she said she needed that mandate in order to negotiate Brexit. Well, what happened? She lost seats, she's now in a minority government, she's relying on the DUP, which barely gives her a majority vote in the House of Commons, in order to survive. Listen, is it credible that with all the issues facing our country, all the issues of inequality and justice and the Brexit talks and everything else, that you have a government that cannot actually gain a majority in the House of Commons except by doing a deal with a very socially conservative DUP? Come on. We need something more responsible than that.
Is Jeremy Corbyn in this for the long term?
Look at me. I've got youth on my side.
And it wasn't just Corbyn who was optimistic about the party's chances of winning the next election. Tory grandee Lord Heseltine also believes this is a distinct possibility and called on the Conservative Party to address their position on Brexit before it was too late.
A great service that Theresa could now perform for the party is to give it the time to decide not just who leads it, but more important, what the policy is going to be. This is not about personality. You see, at the heart of the Conservative Party dilemma is Brexit. And Brexit is the cancer gnawing at the heart of the Conservative Party. Unless they address that, we are in a very difficult situation where it is conceivable that the next election will put Jeremy Corbyn into number 10 Downing Street.
How long do you think that process of establishing a new policy position and finding a new leader needs?
Look, I'm not so preoccupied with the urgency of that as getting it right. I don't think there's going to be another general election in the immediate future for the very obvious reasons that the public don't want it, the Conservative Party patently aren't going to go for it, and the opposition parties can afford to wait. Certainly the SNP in Scotland, the last thing they need is another rerun of a general election, where they would see the Conservatives under Ruth Davidson making even more advances. So there's no self-interest in the political machines to have another early general election.
But events are powerful forces, as you know. You lived through the instability of the 70s. I mean, realistically, how long can a minority government of this sort survive?
I would have thought 2 years, and that's chilling, because what does it mean? We know that the economy is not doing well. There's no reason to suppose it's going to improve, and above all else, Brexit is overhanging it, with all the uncertainty that that creates. And what's going to happen? We're going to have a totally artificial negotiation, because who can say what party will be in power in a couple of years' time? Who can say who will lead it? Who can say what the policies will be? But what we do know is that if the two-year negotiations take place, the outcome will be around about the time of the next election, the likely time. And by that time, all the sort of airy phraseology about better deals and world markets and new opportunities and Britain great, all this sort of stuff will be exposed for what it was, rhetoric.
Always happy to provide a headline or two, Shadow Foreign Secretary Emily Thornberry claimed she did not accept the notion that Labour had lost this election and asserted that Labour should absolutely be prepared to form a government within a matter of days if Theresa May was unable to do so.
So are you preparing for government then?
Yeah, we have to be. We have to be absolutely on our toes.
You accept you lost the election though?
Well, no. I don't think that we did. I think that we did extraordinarily well,
but
and I think that we had
and votes in the Conservative Party.
Yes, but what's clear from our side is that we have a surge of support for our manifesto and for our alternative vision of what Britain could be like, and we have a much stronger mandate for that than, frankly, the Tories do. What do the Tories stand for now? Who knows?
But that's not the same as winning an election, though, is it?
Yes, but, you know, let's see how the Tories do. Let's see if they're able to hold it together, and if not, we will step up. We would love the opportunity to serve.
OK, maybe you can help me out with some of the maths here. Maths was never my strong point, I will admit. So if you do a deal with the SNP, they've got 35 MPs, you can convince the Lib Dems to support you, it's another 12. Greens have got one, Plaid, Cymru, four. Jeremy Corbyn persuades Sinn Féin to come over to Westminster, which give you a handful more. Even then, you still only have 321 seats. That's not a majority unless you get into bed with the DUP, which is what you criticised the Conservatives for doing.
We're not getting into bed with anybody. We would be an alternative government. We would be a minority government. We would put forward our Queen's speech, which is incredibly popular. You know, our policies are popular. Our policies are what the country wants. We would put forward a Queen's speech. We would put forward a budget, and it would be up to the other parties and indeed some Conservative MPs to decide if they wanted to support it or not.
But how can you put together a minority government when you've got so many fewer seats than the Conservative Party?
Let's see. I mean, we're in uncharted territory. All I'm telling you is that our manifesto is popular, our vision for Britain is right. They have no idea of what they're doing. We are waiting in the wings. We will step in if we are required and if we are called upon to serve.
So in a month's time, do you think Jeremy Corbyn could be in number 10?
Who knows? Let's see.
And finally, George Osborne may have delighted in getting his revenge on Theresa May recently, but his attitude has not gone unnoticed amongst his former colleagues. Conservative MP Dominic Raab told Andrew Neil what some of the parliamentary party thought about the former Chancellor.
George Osborne said this morning on the BBC that Mrs May was, quote, a dead woman walking.
Well, look, George has made the transition from a Conservative politician to a mischievous journalist with a great ease. But I think actually most MPs, when they listen to that, will think it's disloyal, unprofessional and frankly pretty self-indulgent. So in reality, I suspect that will shore up support amongst a lot of MPs for Theresa May.
That's all for this week. I'm Isabel Hardman and this podcast was produced by Matthew Taylor. Don't forget to subscribe to the Coffee House Shots podcast on the iTunes store. And for the chance to receive a special introductory offer of 12 issues of The Spectator for £12, as well as full online access, just visit spectator.co.uk/subscribe.